The Bible talks a lot about hope. And as believers, Christians, we have to understand the proper definition of God's hope. And the hope that we have that a team will win a game, or we wish to, or one of our wishes to come true. We have to know the difference between God's hope and our hope for things. Amen? I want to talk to you about hope tonight. Let's turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We'll read verse 6 through 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of the all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or in the new moon, or in the Sabbath days." Amen. You can be seated. Man's hope is based upon a wish or event coming true. Man's hope has a lot of particulars that are out of our control. You see, we wish for our team, whatever kind of team it may be, we wish for them to win, but we have nothing to do with the outcome of the game. And we will not benefit from the outcome of the game either way. Now, I don't believe anyone here will be getting a check from your winning ball team. And no one has probably lost money, unless you have gambled on the actions of others. It will not benefit your pocket. And if you did gamble, you're probably going to lose money on other people's actions. Now, folks, if we treat God, if we treat God's hope the same way that we treat man's hope, we can get disappointed and lose focus on what God wants for our lives. Now, man's definition of hope in Webster says a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A person or thing that may help or save someone. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. Now let me read God's definition of hope. In Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." You see, folks, godly faith and godly hope are wrapped up tightly together, kind of like the hands put together, all right? It is putting your trust, it is putting your confidence in the things of God, not only in what you can see, but in things you cannot see. Why? Because you know that the promises of God are true. Amen? Now, man's hopes are feelings, and God's hopes are promises that you hold on to. So it is why when things are not going your way, you still have hope. You still know that God is somehow working and that you are not doing these things in your own faith. But you are doing it in the faith that God has got. Amen. God has promised us these things. So you got your faith is in God. And no matter what it looks like or how I may feel at the time, I still have hope in Him. Now, there are over 147,000 words in the Oxford English Dictionary. An average person knows about 20 to 35,000 words. Average person uses about 5,000 to 20,000 words regularly. Now, if you go on Google and you've asked how many words in the English language, you will get some people that say 1 to 2 million words. What a difference. Amen. You go to the dictionary and you got 20 to 35 or 147,000 words, and you go on Google and they say 1 to 0.2 million words. Now, it is because you cannot determine how many words there are. You see, now if you look at the word, is hot dog one word or two words? Right? I'm having a little fun here. It is various ways that we use words. Each one word different. So when you are counting words, do you count slang? Nah. Or do you count improper words that are being used? Do you count made-up words? Just because someone thinks it's a word, is it really a word? Huh? The point here is, folks, everyone has an opinion. You have to find which opinion is going to be your go-to source, right? Now, Paul wrote these verses because he heard that the church was being deceived into believing false teaching, and he came back to make sure that they were okay. He came to a group of believers that he did not know well, but they were the family of God. So he made sure that the true church, he made sure they knew the true word of God. He did not want them to perish by making their own gospel, but lived the gospel of Christ that changes the life. That's what he wanted them to make sure, that they didn't make up their own, but that they lived the true gospel that will change their lives. Anybody here like that today? Amen. We want to make sure that we are living the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul, who once hated Christians, at one time he hated Christians. Paul, he hated his Christians. He was angry with them. Why was he angry? Because he thought they were polluting what he believed. Until one day he was on the road to Damascus going to put Christians in jail, those ones that he hated. So he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The persecutor, the hater of Christians, met Jesus Christ, and it changed his life, and it changed his actions forever. Now, it shows me it is never too late, as long as you have breath in your body, for Christ to change your life. Amen? Paul had a new hope in Jesus Christ. Now, it was not based upon Paul's feelings. It was not based upon what others told him about Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changed him forever. Now, every one of us, folks, we need hope. Amen? Without hope, we are hopeless. Without godly hope, we are putting our trust in something that will not last. Biblical change cannot happen without hope. Biblical hope cannot happen without an encounter with Jesus Christ. So people who face death, they face divorce, they face life-shattering things, we all need hope. It doesn't matter what you're facing, as long as you have hope. If you have hope in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what comes your way. Amen. You can make it through because you have hope in Him. People who have faced problems for a long time need hope. People whose hope has been dashed by people, that has been dashed by experiences, they need hope. People who have been wrongly accused need hope. Biblical hope, folks, it produces things. Biblical hope produces joy. When you read in Proverbs 10, verse 28, it says, the prospect of the righteous is joy. Amen? Biblical hope produces perseverance. In Romans 8, 24 through 25, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, yet do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hope. Biblical hope produces confidence. Philippians 1, 20 through 21. I eagerly expected and hoped that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Folks, you must understand the difference between godly hope and false hope. False hopes are human ideas. They are human ideas of what is pleasurable. They are human ideas of what is desirable. They are human ideas. Many people believe problems will disappear if they can just get what they want. People, they believe that problems will disappear. God never promised us that we will get everything we want, nor does He say that what we want will make us happy. You know, people think, well, if I could just get married, everything will be good. Or they think, if I can get a better job, things will change and it'll be good for me. If I just had more money, false hope. If I could just get a bigger house. God never said, name it and claim it. Did He? Never said it. False hope is based on denial or denial of reality. Let me give you an example. A person who wanted to make a living as a musician. The problem was he was not any good at singing or even playing an instrument. His friends told him that he was good when the truth is he was terrible. The best thing someone can do is tell him the truth and let him find his purpose, let him find his own talent. You see, false hope is based on magical thinking. Come on. False hope is viewed on unbiblical view of prayer. Some people believe that prayer is all they need to do. Now, I believe prayer. I believe in it. And I believe the power of God. But sometimes, folks, God has us do what we know to do, and just sitting waiting for it magically happen is the wrong view of prayer. Well, I prayed about it, but yeah, but what are you doing about it? Well, I prayed about it. You know, God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. We ask God for things that we know do not line up with His Word, don't we? And then when we know it doesn't line up with His Word, then we get mad at Him when it does not turn out the way we want it to turn out. Can I say amen? Huh? A false hope that we will be the exception and God has special rules for our situation. So all I need to do is pray about it. False hope is based upon improper interpretation of Scripture also. Folks, we cannot make God's Word say what we want it to say. Come on. You ever see people try to twist things they read in the Word? We have to take it all in context. Understand that some was for the nation of in Scripture. When you look at Scripture, some was for the nation and some of it's for us today. And know the difference because, folks, we are reading God's Word. We have to know the difference. We have to understand what it's for and who it's speaking to. Characteristics of true hope. Let's talk about true hope. True hope is realistic. In Romans 8:28, it tells us that all things work together for good. But folks, it does not say all things are good. Amen? Abraham and Sarah's hope was not based upon an unrealistic view of capabilities. It was based upon God's ability to do what was humanly impossible. True hope stays focused on God. Joseph's hope remained solid even when he was sold into slavery, even when he was lied about, even when he was thrown into prison. His hope remained solid, folks. In Genesis 50, verse 20 says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Job lost everything, didn't he? And he never knew the greater purpose God had in mind for his suffering. But he said this, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." You see, godly hope is never shaken because of unpleasant circumstances. True hope is renewed daily. Amen? I don't care what happened yesterday. I get up today, my God is a great God. He's an awesome God. I got a new hope just today. God does not give us a heart full of hope that is expected to last a lifetime. It's new every day. We must stay focused in our relationship with God, and He will renew our hope by His Word. And being encouraged, folks, as we allow God to work in our lives. When He works in our lives, amen, it encourages us. True hope is the accurate study of God's Word. Energized by His Word. Led by His Word. Being obedient to His Word. Amen. You have accurate, true hope. In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." True hope is a matter of the will. Hope is a choice, just like hopelessness is a choice. True hope is based upon knowledge. Hope is based upon what we know, not what we feel at the time. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hope comes by experiencing it. You see, for a believer, it is unscriptural to say, "I hope I am a Christian," as much as it would be to say, "I hope I'm an American." Right? By knowing God's word and by knowing God's promises, you learn you do not have to hope for something you already possess. Do you know, folks, the difference between godly hope and false hopes? I hope you do. In 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Colossians 2:6-10 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. You know, folks, amen, without a doubt, he is your God. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? If you are, don't doubt it every day. Live your life as a believer in Jesus' name. Rooted and built up in him. Live it that way every day. Strengthen in your faith by him. Thankfulness in him. Amen. See to it, folks, that nobody steals what the Lord has given you. And folks, do not let anyone deceive in believing other than what the word of God says. Amen. We must know that we are a child of the King. And you know, folks, you know it because you are reading God's word for yourself. Amen. You're not going to let somebody deceive you. Somebody that's a banker knows counterfeit because they know the real thing. If you don't know the real thing, you can't know a counterfeit. Amen. Don't lose your focus. Not by anything you are going through or any circumstance out of your control. I don't care what comes your way. Don't lose your focus. Amen. Something comes your way, you don't have to like it, but you got to say, I'm going to get through it with Jesus' help. He is the head over every power and authority. Amen. We can trust in him, folks. He's got our back. And if it concerns you, it has to get past Jesus Christ. Whatever it is coming your way, if it makes you concerned, amen, if it makes you a little bit fearful, amen, it has to get past Jesus Christ. And if it does, I will trust Jesus Christ. He's going to help me through it. Hallelujah. I got a hope in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that's not Bible, but it is a good song. Let's stand here. Christ is our hope. In Romans 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have hope, folks, because he is our hope. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You see, folks, Jesus just doesn't give us hope. He is our hope. He is our hope. He doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. Amen. He doesn't just give us some truth. He is the truth. He doesn't just give us life. He is life. Hallelujah. Now understand this today. Circumstances may change. People may change. But Jesus never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. That is why we need to have only Jesus as our hope. Hallelujah. He is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that you are our hope. And God, I pray here tonight, Lord, that you've encouraged us here tonight. Lord, just to continue to believe and trust in you, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you are our hope. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.